I love that song. It's a beautiful song. Prayer is the key to the kingdom of God, and it truly is. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Sister Wright. All right. Anyone else with a word before I begin today? Well, it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I don't know if I put my microphone on backwards or what today, but it's not fitting me today for some reason. it's kind of irritating me, but we'll try to forget that. And I want you to pray for me. I need your prayers. It's an awesome responsibility to stand before eternity-bound people and break the bread of life. Speaking of breaking the bread, next Sunday we will observe the Lord's Supper here at the church, and we will be practicing social distancing, and we will be wearing masks, and the elements of the Lord's Supper are sealed, and each person will open the container themselves for the bread and for the fruit of the vine. So don't be afraid to come and to observe the Lord's Supper. Because, you know, Jesus said, "This do." And there are church members who will stay away from church when you're going to serve the Lord's Supper. Never have understood that. When Jesus says, "Do it," you know, we ought to do it. And so I meant to make that announcement earlier, and I let it slip my mind. If you have your Bible today, I'd like to invite you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm just going to read verses 15, 16, and 17. But I will give you a little background. The king of Syria was at war with Israel. And they had them surrounded. The servant of Elisha, he got up in the morning, and I'm going to read this part. I'll just go on and read it now. Beginning at verse 15. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, 'Alas, master, how shall we do?' And he answered, 'Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see.' And the Lord opened his eyes, the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." Now that's my lesson for today. It's rather short, but that's what the Lord led me to for today, and I pray that he'll bless the reading of his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. If I should use a subject title for today, I would use this term, outnumbered. Outnumbered. I suppose that God's people have always been in the minority. Even in the days of Noah, You know, the Bible tells us that the whole world had corrupted itself. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And they brought destruction upon themselves. Of those that survived the judgment that God sent upon the world, there was only 8 people. So they certainly were in the minority, wasn't they? I guess Noah and his family felt like they were outnumbered. But you don't ever want to discount the presence of God and the power of God. And he proved that in the deluge when he destroyed every living thing wherein is the breath of life. We can come on through the Bible and we see other instances when God's people were struggling and it seemed like they were, you know, in the minority. But God never failed them. He always came through. And he gave them success in battle. He gave them strength for the journey. Whatever their needs was, God supplied their need. And another example is in the book of Judges. And we read about Gideon. Now, in Judges chapter 6, we read about how that Israel was being harassed by the Midianites and the Amalekites. They were in sore distress, in fact. They would sow their crops, and when it came time to harvest, their enemies would come in and they would harvest the grain. And even if they had grain that they could turn into meal to make bread, they had to hide in order to grind it. And so God spoke to Gideon. And he said, Gideon, he said, thou art a mighty man of valor. And I'm going to use you to deliver Israel. Now, Israel was outnumbered, wasn't they? They certainly were. The Bible says that the Midianites, they lay in the valleys and the hills like grasshoppers for multitude. That's how many of them they were. And sometimes we think, you know, being a small band of people, being a small congregation like we are here today, you know, that we are outnumbered and that there's not much that we can do. But we always want to remember that with God, one is a majority. It's always been that way. It always will be that way because God is the Almighty. He is the ruler, the maker, and the ruler of heaven and earth. And there is nothing that is withholden from the eyes of God. He sees everything. He knows all about the oppression of his people. He knows about the struggles that we go through. He knows, you know, just what we need. Now, someone wrote a song that said, my Jesus knows just what I need. And I want to tell you this morning from this pulpit that my Jesus knows what we need. He knows what we need. And the Bible said that he is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we might ask or think. So, you know, the victory is the Lord's. We read that in a number of places in the Bible, maybe not those exact words, although they are used in some places. The battle is the Lord's, and the Lord will help us, and He'll give us victory. So Gideon, you know, he didn't feel like that he was capable of doing what the Lord wanted him to do. He began to make excuses, even as Moses did. God told Gideon that he would be with him. And he was with him. And he helped him. Now, Gideon knew that the army, they were surrounded by the army and all of these things. But at the command of God, after he reassured himself, you know, that this was the will of God. And it's always important for us to be sure that we're in the will of God. You know, God may, he may purpose to use us, but he can only use us if we stay in his will. And we get out of his will, and then things don't go quite as well as they could. He asked the Lord not to be upset with him, but he wanted some assurance. He said, I'm going to put the fleece out tonight. He said, in the morning, when we get up, if the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, then I'll know this is your will. So he got up the next morning. The fleece was wet. The ground was dry. I suppose the devil might have whispered in his ear and said, yeah, but somebody probably poured a bucket of water on your fleece tonight. Yeah. So he said, oh, Lord, peradventure, you know. He said, let me put you to the test again. In the morning, let all the ground be wet and the fleece be dry. And so it was. And so he received the assurance of that God was with him, that he had called him, and that he was going to use him to bring a great deliverance to the nation of Israel. And so he began to gather his army together. And he gathered his army, and there were 32,000 of them. You see, but the Midianites and the Amalekites, they were hundreds of thousands of them. You know, and God said to Gideon, you know, you've got too many soldiers. 32,000 are too many. And so he said, let everybody that is fearful, afraid, let them go back home. You can't use somebody that's afraid, you know, to serve the Lord. And so they went back, I believe 22,000 of them went home, and that left him 10,000. And the Lord said, Gideon, you still have too many. Said, take them down by the brook, and I'm going to try them down there. And so he took them to the brook for them to get a drink. And God said, Gideon, said everyone that gets down on his hands and knees and drinks water out of the brook, said, send him home. But the ones that reach down and get a handful of water and bring it up to his mouth and lap it, the water out of his hand like a dog would lap water, he said, we'll use him. Now, there was a reason for that. You see, the Bible says that we should watch as well as pray. You know, and if you're down drinking the water out of the brook with your face to the water, you can't see, you know. But if you reach down and get it and bring it up here, you can watch, you know, while you drink. And so that's the way that God selected the number of men. And guess how many he selected? 300. There were 300 men out of the 32,000 that had been in the service that God used. And you know, he used them in a very special way. You know, the Bible said we walk by faith and not by sight. And so this was a faith work. And I want to tell you today that what we're doing here at Fairview Memorial Baptist Church is a faith work. We're walking by faith. We're living by faith. We're following the teachings of God's Word. And we're preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. And we're depending upon a power outside of ourselves. I've seen people that I considered to be spiritual giants, you know. I mean, they were, they had power with God, spiritual. They were close to God, and God used them in a spiritual way to bring spiritual blessings to people. The Bible said, Zechariah, chapter, I believe it's 4 and maybe verse 6. He said, it's not by power nor by might, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord. Now, the Lord Jesus, when he went back to heaven, he sent the promise of the Father upon his church. It was of the Spirit of the Lord. It was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was the enabling factor in our service to God. You know, the Bible says that the flesh profiteth little, you know. You might do a little bit of good in the flesh, but I tell you, you can do a lot more good in the Spirit than you can in the flesh. And so it says that the flesh profiteth little, you know, a little bit. Oh, but listen, God's Spirit is the power by which he moves and the power by which he accomplishes things. He spoke the world into existence, and the Bible said, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the deep. God's Spirit. Now, they walking by faith, depending. Well, you better believe they were depending on the Lord. Now, Gideon said, you watch me. You do what I do. Now, he was providing leadership. He was the captain of the host, you know, of the army. And so he said, you watch me, you do what I do. And he told them, he said, now you want to take a trumpet and you want to take a pitcher and you want to take a light to put in the pitcher. And he said, I'm going to divide you up into three companies. Here's one over here, and here's one here, and here's one over here. We got three companies of soldiers here at Fairview Memorial this morning. And he said, I'm going to divide you up in three companies. And we're going out, and we're going to surround this the enemy. And he said, when I blow the trumpet, you blow the trumpet. And he said, when I break the pitcher so the light will shine, you break the pitcher so the light will shine. And when I shout,
the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You shout of the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And do you know, God did the rest of it. You know, a very simple thing that God expected them to do. But I tell you, God gave them the victory. And I could take a lot more time and talk about that. But I want to bring to your mind something else. The lesson that I read in your hearing this morning. You know, Elisha and his servant, they were surrounded. The servant said, what are we going to do? You know, we're in a struggle. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers, against spiritual darkness, against the rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And I tell you, as a church of the living God, we're in a battle. The enemy is strong against us. But I'm telling you today that we can overcome because we're not outnumbered. You know, as you look around you and you see all the evil that's in the world today, and you may feel outnumbered. But I tell you, if we get everything in its proper perspective, we'll find out that God is still in control of things. And God is able to come to our rescue. And God can provide deliverance. We used to sing, Brother Jimmy, at Faith Church in Detroit. Jan and Gina and Ruth and me, we used to sing, God delivers again. And He did. There are many examples in the Bible of God's deliverance. Standing there at the Red Sea, God's people begin to complain. So the Lord gave the command, you know. And Moses stretched out the rod, and the sea parted. They got on the other side, and they began to sing, Victory in Jesus. Maybe it didn't have the same words that we have, but that's what they were singing. God gave them a victory. God delivers again. And down through the history of time, God has delivered time and time again when His people humble themselves. I thought it was I don't know how to say it. It was really remarkable, I think. Our vice president, he got up in front of thousands of people and he quoted, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Folks, I believe it still will work today. God is a deliverer. He is the mighty deliverer. When you feel like you're outnumbered, don't forget, God's on your side. And so, Elisha said, to his servant. He said, fear not. Fear not. There's a lot of God's people today that are living in fear. We fear the pandemic, and I do. I'm not stupid. I try to protect myself, and I try to protect the people that I love. The people that I worship with, the people that I live with, the people where I go to the grocery store, and wherever I go, I try to use good common sense. But I believe this. I believe that my God can take care of me. And I'm going to keep on trying to serve Him. And I'm not going to bow. We used to hear that song about the three Hebrew children. The old king said, "Don't you bow down or make any petition to anybody but me." Well, they just went on praying to the Almighty God. The songwriter wrote the song about them. They throwed the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, and there was somebody in there taking care of them. It don't mean that we won't ever suffer. It doesn't mean that we never will have, we'll lose a battle. We lose battles sometimes. But the ultimate victory belongs to God's people. And so they were in the furnace. Old king coming. "Well, I thought we cast three in there. I see four. The fourth is likened to the Son of God." God was in there with them. And you know, they brought them out, and there wasn't even the small smell of smoke on their garments. They didn't have one of them have a burn on them, you know. The songwriter wrote the song, and he said, "They wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn, because the Lord is with them." I thought about the church. It started out really little, didn't it? The prophet Isaiah, I believe it was Isaiah, might have been one of the others, said there'll be a handful of corn planted in the top of the mountain, and it's going to flourish. You know, Jesus called men that had been prepared for the purpose. And John the Baptist had prepared them. How'd he prepare them? He preached to them, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He preached to them, "There's one coming after me. He's mightier than I. The latchet of his shoes I'm not even worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." He did that. After Jesus had been crucified, you know, they went back to the upper room where they had been. He told them, "Tarry ye until you get the power. Tarry." And so they went back, and they were praying. I believe this. I can just hear them, you know. I don't know. Maybe some of them prayed silently, but I just kind of have an idea they were praying. "Oh, Lord, send the power." That's what he promised. "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." And so, here they were. By this time, there was up to 120 in the upper room praying. They were praying. There were thousands of people who had gathered in Jerusalem for something, you know, that was important to them. They were there to celebrate Passover, to remember the day that deliverance came there from Egypt and from the bondage of Egypt. And they were commemorating that. But there was something more important that was taking place there. While they were praying, they were one mind and one accord. And I tell you, suddenly, there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the room where they were sitting. What do you think that was? Well, that was the Holy Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. You cannot tell from whence it cometh or whether it goeth, and so is every one that is born to the Spirit. I tell you, the Holy Spirit of God, I have been in church services, and I'm sure that you have too. And if you haven't, I hope you're in one real soon. Where the Spirit of the Lord, like a cool breeze, just saturates the atmosphere where you are. And you can feel the presence of God. You can't see Him. A spirit hath not flesh and bones. The Spirit is like the wind, and it filled that room where they were sitting. And they began to speak in other tongues. They didn't speak unknown languages, folks. Don't you fall for that. They spoke languages. There were people gathered at Jerusalem for Passover from all over the world. And they all spoke different languages. And they began to speak in other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. They began to preach. You know, and I tell you, the Spirit of God, it wasn't Peter and John and James and all the others that were preaching that day. It wasn't by their power. It wasn't by their might. But it was by the Holy Spirit of God. Men and women became pricked in their hearts. I tell you, this message of the gospel, the Holy Spirit took it to their hearts. Took it to their hearts. And they began to cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, they had a great revival that day. The Holy Spirit of God moved. And there was 3,000 that were saved and added to the church that day. Now that little 120 in the upper room, I guess maybe they felt outnumbered, especially after Jesus was crucified and He went back to heaven. You know, I guess they felt maybe outnumbered. But, you know, Jesus said, I'll send the promise of my Father, and He surely did. And that Holy Spirit of God worked that day. Now, this great crowd, they had come to celebrate, you know, the Passover. But you know what? Something greater had taken place. Jesus of Nazareth, the only begotten Son of God, the one that was despised and rejected, the one who was crucified, died on the cross of Calvary. And you know why He did? He did it to pay the sin debt. He made an atonement for sin. His death for your life. His death. He paid for sin so that you could have eternal life. You could have life and have it more abundant. He not only died there, but I tell you, 3 days later, He rose from the dead. You talk about something to celebrate. Folks, we need to celebrate. We need to be happy. We need to be joyful. We need to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross and despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God the Father. What a victory, huh? Well, because He lives, we're going to live too, aren't we? So listen, we may feel outnumbered, but we're not. We're not. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you, even to the end of the world." He's with us. He'll bless us. I want you to renew your faith. Let's not get down in the dumps and say, well, we might as well quit, you know. That's just what the devil wants. You know, I don't know. It seems to me like that Satan is fighting us harder than he ever has before. Fighting us. The enemy, you know, they're trying to destroy everything they can about God. But I tell you, they're not going to be able to be victorious in that. We may have some casualties. We may have some who are following the Lord for the bread and the fishes. But I tell you, there's a group of people that's following Jesus because there's nobody else to follow. Nobody else to follow. After Jesus fed those 6,000 people, they showed up the next day. Jesus said, "I know why you're here. You're here for the loaves and the fishes." And he turned to his disciples. He said, "Are you all going to?" Well, he told them. He gave them some good, strong doctrine. And they just couldn't take it. You know, some people today don't like doctrine. But I tell you, if you don't have doctrine, you don't have gospel. But anyway, they heard what he had to say. And they turned and they left. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Are you going to go away too?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You're the one that has the words of eternal life." And folks, we're going to hold on to Jesus, aren't we? Amen. We're going to hold on to Jesus. I've heard this statement. I guess you have too. In fact, I've asked people, "Yeah, how you doing?" Let's see. They'd say, "Greatly blessed and highly favored." And I want to add something else to that too. We are greatly loved. God's people are greatly loved. The Lord loves His people. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be involved in the work of the Lord. He wants us to be helping other people find Jesus, you know. He's wanting us to point people, the Lamb of God, Jesus, there He is. Wants us to point people to the Lamb of God. That takes away the sins of the world. So today, listen, we certainly are greatly blessed. We're highly favored. And we're wonderfully loved by the Lord Jesus. We're not in this battle alone. Don't get discouraged. You know, the pandemic's not going to win over God's people. It's not going to. It's not going to. Oh, we may lose a few in the battle, but I'm telling you, we're going to stand one of these days on heaven's bright shore. And we're going to sing victory in Jesus. And we're going to sing, "I made it by the blood of the Lamb." I'll just close. I'm done. seems hard sometimes. There's more of them than there are of us, we think. Oh, but think again. Think again. Jesus didn't die on the cross of Calvary so that his church would be defeated. That's not the purpose of his death. It's so we'd have victory. We'd have victory. God bless you. I love you. If you're not saved, I love you. Your soul is worth more than all of this world. It really is. Your soul is worth more than everything in this world. Why? Because everything in this world is going to perish. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be burned up. It's not going to last. But if you've been saved by God's grace, your soul will live on and on and on and on in the presence of God. I want you to get saved if you're not saved. If you're not close to God, I want you to snooch up. I guess that's a word, ain't it? Snooch up close to him. Get a little closer to him. Say, Lord, I've wandered far away from you. I want to come home. I want to get back close to you. I want to feel your presence. I want to feel your spirit. Lord, will you help me to get back close to you? And I want all of us to take up the cross. Oh, it's a cross. It's a cross. Jesus said, if a man won't take up the cross and follow him, he's not worthy of him. What Jesus said, I'm just repeating it. There's a cross to bear. Even in hard times, there's still a cross to bear. May God bless you. I want to encourage you. I want to help you. Don't look how big the enemy is. Look how big God is. Amen. Anybody have anything you want to say?
Brother Ryan, thank you for the cheerleading message today.
God bless you, Brother Wayne.